Here is the Crescendo Music Education Podcast, episode number 21. In this episode of the Crescendo Music Education Podcast, you're going to hear me have a chat with Deb Bryden. She's an amazing music educator, and I get to work with her all the time. In fact, I wonder that she doesn't sometimes get a little bit sick of me, but she puts up with me. We get a lot of really amazing work done together. I love bouncing ideas off her, and you get to hear a little bit about her journey as a music educator, and we start to talk with each other about the way we work together, about intentional collaboration, how 1 + 1 equals a lot more than 2. I hope you love this episode where I have a chat to Deb Bryden. Hello, Deb Bryden. Welcome to the Crescendo Music Education Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Well,
I'm excited.
It's about time, isn't it?
I reckon. I was feeling left out.
No, it's just circumstances, because anybody who knows the work that Crescendo does and that I do, it's often attached to Deb Bryden, the way it works. 1 + 1 equals more than 2. Hey, Deb.
Yes. Correct.
All right, I'm going to start reading just the short version of your bio. Okay, so for those people who aren't fortunate enough to know you, I'll just give you a bit of a background. So Deb Bryden is a primary music specialist who has taught music for over 20 years, been an accredited Do-Re-Mi early childhood teacher, and worked as a senior project writer with the Department of Education's curriculum Into the Classroom Project, C2C, affectionately known as C2C. Deb has been the project coordinator for Kodai Queensland's DVD projects, including Musical Beginnings, Middle Years Music Education, and Step Up with Music. She holds an Australian Kodai certificate, early childhood, is an honorary life member of Kodai Australia, and is currently president of Kodai Queensland. In 2020, Deb was nationally accredited as a highly accomplished teacher by AITSL. She lives on Yuggera country with her husband and 3 children. So in a nutshell, that is Deb. And before I even ask you what else to add, I think I'll make sure I put in the show notes a link to those great Kodai resources.
Fabulous.
So tell us a tiny bit about them.
I was going to talk about these later in my pre-prepared answers. However, these, of course, are fabulous. Look, this is something that I'm most proud of in my work and my work with Kodai Queensland is the collaborations to make these 3 DVDs. One's Musical Beginnings, which is for prep to grade one-ish. It's 50 songs and rhymes with video snips showing actual children doing them, along with some teacher resources as well. The second one was Music in the Middle Years, Middle Years Music Education, MIME, affectionately known, as, and that's for grades 5 to 9, the sort of middle years of schooling. Once again, I think there's 35 videos, 35 songs and activities and things to do with them, and lots of teacher resources. It's a CD-ROM in effect, or a USB these days. And the third one we did was to fill in the gap in between Step Up with Music, which is grades 2 to 4. Once again, video snips of children doing the games and activities, and lots of teacher resources. More teacher resources as we went on.
So
that's them in a nutshell. And you can get them on Kodai Queensland's website.
They're so practical. They're so real and so useful. Stuff you can just print off and, you know, individual beat cards, yeah, and just a whole lot of great stuff. But we can get back to them again. So we is can. There anything else that you'd like to add to that brief bio?
No, that's me.
You in a nutshell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you consider the highlight or highlights of your journey as a music educator? Because like me, you actually didn't start out as a music educator. We sort of found our way not directly out of college, as it was then, not university. So tell us about
it. University for me.
Oh, just
okay. Became a university halfway through my degree.
Oh, okay. All right, you young. Okay. Yeah. So tell us about your journey as a music educator and what was a highlight?
Well, I think there's sort of two categories in here. There's, I guess, the personal highlights, and I think they come every day. They're little things that need to be highlighted. And, you know, I think that we should highlight them ourselves, to ourselves and to other people. But, you know, that's the things that keep us going. So there's little things that happen every day, little moments with each child, with different children, not each child every day, of course. And then some are a bit bigger. Like for me, one of them's been a child who was a selective mute, who I had, I'm sure I've told you this story before, Debbie, who I've had in prep. And every single time I saw this child, I sang hello to them, like I do to every child in prep, and they sing hello, Mrs. Bridenback, and this child just smiled every time. Mm. Never sang, never spoke, never whispered, nothing. The whole of prep, halfway through grade one, same thing, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then I said, who would like to go first? We were singing Hey Hey Look at Me. Who would like to go first to come out the front, sing the song with their action, and everyone copy them? And she put her hand up and I nearly fell over. And I nearly didn't ask her, because I thought, oh, she's going to get up and freak out. I thought, no, I will. She's put her hand up. She wouldn't normally. She came out, sang perfectly, beautifully, clearly, and it was just, I had tears in my eyes. Yeah. That is a personal highlight, that, you know, you don't always know what's going in. More is going in than is always obvious in their faces or in whatever's going on. And obviously all of that in tune singing was going in and was being internalized. And then it came out finally after a year and a half. Oh,
that's magic.
You know, that's a career highlight for me.
Yeah, it so is. And you think, that's a highly visible one, isn't it?
It is.
When you think that represents a whole lot of invisible ones, doesn't it?
That's right. It certainly does. You know, and those sort of things happen all the time, that the child with ASD who joins in, you know, for the first time, or not for the first time, but who joins in consistently when that's a struggle for them. Or has been in the past, and the relationships that are built, those things are the highlights for me. But then, I guess, to go a bit bigger, the career highlights, seriously, for me, it's about working with other people. So the Kodai Queensland DVDs that I already talked about, it's not just about the product for me as having been part of the process. It's about the teamwork and the people that I collaborated with on those projects, and the hours of grit and determination and, you know, and supporting each other through that, and having a product that we seriously are proud of and that I know is really useful and I personally use. You know, that's a career highlight. And two other little ones, not little ones, very big ones. My honorary life membership with Kodai Queensland was a career highlight for sure, because I really believe in Kodai music education. I believe in the networks that we create together and the amazing things that we can do together. And of course, getting my hat, my highly accomplished teacher, because once again, that was a lot of hard work to submit that application. And, you know, it's nice to be recognised for that.
Yes, they are definitely highlights worth celebrating.
For sure.
They are a lot of work, all of those things.
Totally.
And it does take grit, determination, tenacity.
Yeah.
You know,
and teamwork. It needs other people. You can't do these things alone.
No. Well, you might be able to do one if you spent your entire life doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, doing it by yourself, it probably wouldn't be as great, because all of those minds contributing. Not that your mind's not good, Deb. Okay. And in fact, a theme through this whole podcast episode will be intentional collaboration, because you and I do so much together. And I wanted to make that the theme of our first podcast together. I'm sure there's going to be many more. But before we get on to the intentional collaboration, can you tell us about a person or people that have been influential in your life, professional or personal or both?
Well, I'll start with the personal, and that's my parents. You know, I've been blessed with fabulous parents who, you know, were stable and had fabulous parents themselves and were equipped to love us and to look after us in a great way. But not only that, to provide an example of living a life of service. They both were always heavily involved in their church and also in other committees. They have always been on a variety of committees, Blue Care or whatever it was back then, Blue something else, I can't think of the word, Lifeline. You know, my dad was involved from the, you know, early days of Lifeline and Drug Arm, all these sorts of committees that they're involved in. And even now, my mum's the president of the Historical Society that my dad was the president of before her. It's that life outside yourself that is very influential to me. And, you know, I guess that's why I've been on the Kodai committee for so long, because that's what was modeled to me. And it comes back to, you know, that saying, to whom much is given, much will be required. And I really feel that that means that I'm responsible to do something with what I've been given and the start that I've had in life. And so, and not just for myself, but to benefit other people. So moving into the professional sphere though, look, I have to say you, Debbie, because you were my first pedagogy teacher, methodology teacher in my Australian Kodai certificate when I was a classroom teacher and really had absolutely no idea what music teaching was about.
What made you start your Kodai training? And then you can get back to telling me.
Okay. How fabulous you are in a minute. Well, I was a classroom teacher in Charters Towers in northwest Queensland, which is a relatively small place, and they were having trouble getting a music teacher. And they said, oh, Deb, you play the piano. So you can be the music teacher. Are you interested? And I said, well, look, I am, because I actually had always wanted to be a music teacher and thought that would come later after some further study. However, so I said to them, look, you know, I am interested. And a good friend of mine was the music teacher, other music teacher in town. So I knew I had some support there, but I said, look, I need to do something, some sort of training. And a brochure came on my desk for the Kodai certificate summer course. So I went and did it. And that, yeah. And so I did Kodai 1 before I started teaching that year. So, you know, look, at least the grade 1s and 2s had a good start that year. The grade 5s and 6s and 7s as it was back then, look, I'll be honest, what I was doing was probably pretty average. But, you know, they got by and I got better as time went on, I hope. So back to you. I just wanted to do what you did. I was inspired. It's seeing you do those activities and games and songs and talk about the pedagogy. I was inspired. It made sense to me and I just wanted to do it. So, yeah. And, you know, of course, there have been other ways that you've been influential along the way, but that was the key moment for me. Wow. And there have been so many other music educators who've influenced my life and you almost don't want to mention them because there really seriously are so many.
And, you don't want to miss
any. Oh, I don't. And so if I miss you out, like really, I do appreciate all of the people that I come in contact with. But I do want to highlight a couple. Marie Hennessy, I had the privilege of being on the Kodai committee with her, but then also of working at C2C with her for 6 months sharing a desk, which was just fabulous. She continues to inspire me to think bigger than music education, to think outside music education and how that impacts on music. Things like other educational theorists and how their work and research can impact on music teaching. I think that's really something I've really learned from her, is to look outside and widen, I guess, the influences on my pedagogy. I can't not mention Judy Johnson, who has been fabulous in so many ways along the years, and Celia Dodds and Debbie Wilson, who I worked very closely with on the first DVD project, and who taught me about teaching the whole child and understanding what's going on for little people in the classroom, especially early years kids, and not just the music side of things. And Wendy Rolls, who I've worked on the other DVD projects with as well, who we both know is absolutely the epitome of fabulousness.
Yes, she is.
And organisation and stationery and fonts. She is my font go-to person.
Font queen. The font queen.
Yeah, absolutely. My style guide.
She's actually a bit scary intelligent too.
She's extremely intelligent. Yeah.
As are these other people you mentioned.
All of them. Oh my goodness. cast of stars.
Yeah, like I just want to hang around them so some of their smarts will rub off on me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it does, it does.
Yeah, I agree. I want to get down to this intentional collaboration.
Hold on, I forgot one other thing.
Oh, okay, quick.
I had another dot point written down. Administrators at my school. Now, this seems like a strange thing, but I have had and still have some fabulous line managers over the years, deputies and principals, whatever. One in particular, Jody, when I was working on my hat portfolio, was really encouraging and helped me to see my own potential. The influence that these people have, positively or negatively, is quite amazing. When they are encouraging and affirming and give you a little bit of space to try things, you know, fabulous things happen.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's a really important message. If there are any school administrators listening to this podcast, hey, you're going to make sure Jody does at least.
Yeah, I'll let her know.
Yeah, yeah. But really, the power that these people have to make or break our career.
Oh, totally.
You know, they are leaders and should be good leaders. Everything that a good leader is supporting and empowering others. And when you get a school leader that is not a leader in any way, it is not only damaging for the children at the school, but for the whole staff.
Yeah.
Their job is so important.
And I think, you know, we can't overestimate. Whichever one it is, I don't know. We can't overestimate the importance of just that little email saying, thanks for doing that. That was fabulous. You know, that really is important. And administrators who do that, or us who do that for children or for other staff members, it has a huge impact.
It does. And, you know, it reminds me of that old saying, you know, you catch more flies with honey than lemon?
Whatever else. But whatever. Yeah.
Something yucky.
Yeah.
So you just want to, you know, I have the best administrators in the world at the moment, and I don't think I could work any harder. But if I could, I would.
Yeah, totally. And I'm in the same position. And I really know how amazing that is and how unfortunately rare it can be to be in that position. And I'm really appreciating it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where I am now and where I was last year and for the previous 20 years was the same. And so, you know, I feel really blessed.
You certainly have been a bit privileged to only have had that. Yeah. And you
are. Oh, look, it's not only. There have been some relieving ones in there that I have to tell you I won't talk about publicly, but there have been tears.
I know. And you and I personally, because we have large networks and we do PD, et cetera, we have come across many people. And I'm not, obviously, we're not going to name them, who have been literally forced out of their job because of the way they have been treated. I think a certain amount comes from believing in yourself and the power of what you do. But that will only go so far. If you have got someone with the big stop hand up there that is down on music or down on you personally or wanting to get you out of the school, like, doesn't matter how good you are, or how much you believe in what
tenacity you have.
You know, it's not going to work. You know, I've been basically forced out of a job. I sort of jumped before it got too bad. You know, it happens to everybody, but boy, administrators, get your act together. You're really powerful. Okay.
And thank you to those who've already got their act together.
Yeah, we appreciate you very much. But it also reaffirms what we should be doing for our colleagues and for
It doesn't have to come from the top. It can come from your colleagues as well, and that's just as important.
Yes. So we can do that bit. You for make sure that you do that smile or that email to the
email. Yeah. Just email. That was fabulous.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just message the teacher who you saw doing something or other and saying that was just wonderful. I love watching you work with children. And
absolutely. What a difference that makes to people. Yeah,
it does. See, we could change the world, Deb, couldn't we?
I know. I'm going to try and do one a week this term. That's going to be my goal.
That's a good goal to someone on staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch out, staff. Here I come.
Yeah. No, I like that. I might do that too. Yeah. We'll tell each other what we've done.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll inspire each other. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I love the way that you and I have adopted the term intentional collaboration. It almost began a bit tongue-in-cheek because it was a priority of our current employer, Department of Education Queensland. Still is. Intentional collaboration. And we thought, oh, yeah, he's one of these terms. But it did fit what we were doing exactly. So we've we've adopted it. And in fact, it's often IC as just as our abbreviation to each other.
We even have a shared folder called IC. Intentional collaboration.
We do. Yes. And it's a fairly big folder, our IC folder. So it's something we both do. We've been doing it for a long time. So what's your definition of intentional collaboration? And you've been referring to it the whole podcast, but...
Look, I can't not. Look, I think it's about working together. So we have to be intentional about it. Classroom teachers are forced to collaborate, or it happens naturally because they're right there beside each other, but we are naturally in an isolating position, being that usually the only music teacher at the school. But it doesn't have to be isolating, and that's where the working at it comes in. And it really, it's up to us. We have to be intentional about it. There's no other way to say that. We have to create our own opportunities or take up any opportunities that we see and make them bigger and harness them. So I think that's what it's about. It's about making ways to work with other people, making time.
Yeah. And like you said, the intentional part of intentional collaboration is more important for us.
I think so.
Yeah. Like at our school, it's, you know, all right, all you grade fours, you've got half a day planning. You sit in that one room together and work together.
Yes.
You know, whereas we don't have that. We've got to make that work. We've got to create a local network or join an association like Kodai Queensland or whatever your preference is for professional association.
Crescendo.
Oh, okay. Yes.
There's a plug.
There's a plug for Crescendo. Because I was actually just thinking of the Crescendo Facebook page before, the private one, because there's a little discussion now around, it was on my Q&A Saturday, what was describe your job as a music teacher in four words, and somebody put something that was quite heartbreaking. I don't know.
Oh, I don't remember seeing that one.
Oh, no, go in. It's fairly recent. Go in and look. And I've started a little chat, and they've had not a good experience.
Yeah.
You know? And building this intentional collaboration can support you through those hard times.
Totally. And,
yes. So I just think it's really important. And if there's nothing there, you've got to create it yourself.
You have to. Mm. Yeah. And it's the whole, you know, we said before, 1 + 1 = more than 2. Because when you join with someone, it's better than when you do it by yourself.
Yes. So that motivation and support are two things that I gain, well, two of the very... of the many things that I gain from working with someone like you. And it's good to find someone who is like-minded to a certain extent, you know?
Yeah.
And it could be more than one person, I think. Like there might be someone that you work on, say, Indigenous perspectives in your classroom. Someone else has a real passion for that, and you're just working on finding those materials and building those activities. And then there might be someone else who's really interested in the pedagogical side of things.
Yeah.
Someone else who events, they might be really great working out the choir repertoire. And so it doesn't have to be one person, but I think it's worth getting those people. So motivation, support, what else do you think you gain from IC?
Look, the advantages are huge. Different perspectives. So it's not only about like-minded. You do need some commonality, of course, but some different perspectives and ideas and experiences, but also accountability. If I'm working on something with someone else, I push myself to do better. Mm-hmm. And they encourage me when I'm not quite ready to work, which, you know, happens.
Yep.
And look, that so evident in our HAD application.
Oh, was it ever?
Together on that, supporting each other. And there were so many times when one or the other of us was mm-hmm. just ready to pack it in, because it was a lot of work and it was confusing and frustrating mm-hmm. and all of those things. But, you know, when one falls down, the other one's there to mm-hmm. pick them up. And
well, I definitely quit.
You did quit.
I quit. I did.
But I came back.
But you were still there and you were still encouraging. So I think it might have even been a Christmas holidays, because it took,
I think so.
You know, year and a half to 2 years to get this application together. Those of you who are not at all familiar with the HAT or LEAD teacher process, it's just massive.
That's so good.
Oh, so good. Well, you grow a lot. You learn a lot.
I guess like childbirth. It's good in the end.
See, there's a perfect example of how IC helps you. Absolutely. The intentional collaboration. Like that was it. I was done. And then,
but it's not only on those big things, it's also on the little things, like writing a marking guide. You know, sometimes either of us will just go, no, I'm done. That we'll just write whatever we feel like. And then, you know, well, we don't ever leave it there. But because you're working with someone else, you've got that motivation.
Absolutely. And even now, because Deb and I, at the time of recording, we had a day together a couple of days ago doing some planning for semester two. And we've got little tasks to do. And I know that my little tasks are going to be nicer because I'm sharing them with Deb. You know, I think,
they're also going to be completed, because you don't want to let the other person down. Whereas if it was just yourself, you might just go, oh, look, I won't worry about that.
I'll do it. I'll wing it on the day. I know. I know what I'm doing. I've got my dot points. I don't have to make a nice little PowerPoint to go with that.
Yeah, that's right.
But I will, because I'm sharing it with Deb.
Yes. And then future Debbie is very happy that you've done it.
Yes. Oh, future Debbie and future Deb. And for those of you who are confused by the Deb and Debbie thing, we're quite used to it now. I am Debbie. I am speaking to Deb. And it's just two completely different names, Deb and Debbie. Yeah. So don't be confused. If I talk about future Debbie, I'm talking about myself in the future. But future Deb and future Debbie will be happy with what we're doing now.
Yes, definitely. And so, hopefully our children will too.
Oh, I think so. I think our children benefit a great deal. And I tell you, do you know what? I think the biggest benefit for the children I teach is that I am calmer and feel more in control and able to be
organized.
Yes. And I'm able to be in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
More. Not going, oh, how am I going to do this? I haven't done this. And what was I going to do for assessment for that? You know, this way, it's all done. And able to relax more and be a better teacher.
Be a better, I'm
certain of that. This podcast is brought to you by Crescendo Music Education, connecting, supporting and inspiring music educators. In the show notes, you'll find links to Crescendo's social media platforms. Please connect with me and be part of the Crescendo community. You might consider becoming a Crescendo member. For a low annual fee, you can access hundreds of files, worksheets, printables, workbooks, repeat workshops and webinars, and receive great discounts on events. So come and connect with me, Debbie O'Shea. See you in the socials. As we know, laughter relieves stress. Don't lose sight of the funny side of life. What is large and grey and just doesn't matter? An irrelevant.